Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Jim Callis, senior writer, MLB Pipeline, MLB.com, also on MLB Network as well. It's a great time of the year. It's been a great work week for Cleveland. Jim, the All-Star Game week and weekend coming to an end yesterday, and we are really proud here in Cleveland of the showing that this city had. A lot of the players talked about it yesterday. Mad Dog Russo was on with us yesterday talking about how great Cleveland was. It was really a great week, I thought, for baseball and for the city of Cleveland with this All-Star Game.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I was only there for the first half of it because I came out to the AAA All-Star Game, which is on tonight on MLB Network, but I was there for the high school All-Star Game on Saturday and for the Futures Game on Sunday, so I was there for about 2.5 days, and I thought so, too. I'd only been to Progressive Field once. I was fortunate enough to get tickets to Game 7 of the World Series and back in 2016, but we were kind of in and out. My daughter and I literally drove out the day of the game, got there an hour before the game, and then left when it was over. So I didn't really take in much Cleveland, but no, I thought so too. I probably shouldn't mention the name on the air, but I found there somebody mentioned a great barbecue restaurant to me that was right near the park that blew me away and had good Mexican food one night. And I went to the Killers concert out on the mall on Saturday, and I wish I'd had a time. I wanted to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I was just so busy with work and then out there so quickly. But I thought so, too. I thought Cleveland, it was a very good All-Star Game showing.
What did you think of the, I know we've seen some of this, and, we've been talking a lot about, what baseball can do to market to young kids. We've talked on our show about shoes, and I thought yesterday, and they've done this the last couple of All-Star Games, those on-field interviews, I know you can't do that really in regular season games, but those on-field interviews, to me, are great for the game because unlike basketball and to some degree football, we don't, the casual fan at least, and even to some degree the diehard fan, doesn't know the personalities of baseball players as well as they do other sports. And I think that kind of coverage last night certainly helps. What do you think?
I agree 100%. I think that's, when I was a kid, the All-Star Game was a chance to see players you didn't get to see very much. I grew up in Northern Virginia, so we got Orioles games, and basically I saw National League players if they were, on Game of the Week or Monday Night Baseball or something. But now, everybody sees these guys play. That novelty, you can watch them on your phone wherever you want, really. But I agree with you 100%. I think in an exhibition like that, it's a great setting. I mean, like you said, you can't really do that in a game that counts. But I to get to know some of those players, I think that's tremendous. To have Yelich and Bellinger, mic'd up at the same time, or the inning where they had the three Astros all, talking while the game was going on. I think that stuff's great. Maybe we'll see. I don't know if you guys caught it, because the high school All-Star Game in Cleveland was just streamed. Harold Reynolds actually spent an inning running around the field, standing next to players, talking to them while the game was going on. And we sadly did not get a ball hit in Harold's vicinity while that was going on. But even that was kind of cool too. Yeah. But no, I think that's the best part of it. I think you should, and you've seen them, doing the spring training games, and you really get to know the players better. You cannot do enough of that. And, you can't obviously do that, in games that count. But I think anytime it's spring training or All-Star
training
game,
would be great, yeah.
It's a great opportunity. And with the kind of the natural breaks in the game between pitches, obviously you're not going to mic up, in an exhibition game, Tom Brady, while he's playing quarterback, because there's, he's always in the middle of doing something, or, you can't hear him calling. They don't want you hearing him calling the play. But in baseball, I just think it really lends itself to that with the breaks between each pitch.
Why not during the regular season, though, do more interviews, maybe between innings or something like that, where it's not during the play, but the players could still kind of, there's two,
a pitcher
two,
on a day off,
yeah,
on the bench.
There's 2 minutes between innings, right? I mean, there's plenty of time to get some insight between innings, or,
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think you could get guys who are in the game, obviously, even in their dugout, but why not, if it's a day that Justin Verlander's not pitching?
Yeah.
Talk to him just for, a batter or two during a game. I mean, they're in Cleveland. I mean, kind of a volatile personality, but he's also like a baseball savant. I mean, Trevor Bauer might have some interesting insights, you know, on what guys are doing on the mound, you know, during a game. So, yeah, I think anything you can do along those lines would definitely help. And I agree. I mean, that to me, I mean, you've seen all these guys play a ton. I mean, it's still cool to watch them all in the same field once, but, you know, I've seen all those guys. It was more interesting, you know, kind of listening to them talk because, you know, you don't necessarily get, you know, fans certainly don't get that opportunity every day.
We're talking with Jim Callis, MLB.com, MLB Pipeline. Jim, obviously, speaking of young players, Oscar Mercado, you know, gets called up. I thought he brought a huge spark to this Indians team. He has played really well after, you know, playing great in Triple A this year, even though he didn't play great last year in the minors. Bobby Bradley obviously was killing it in Triple A. He struggled so far. Give me some, if you could, some early thoughts on what you've seen from Mercado, and obviously a little less of Bobby Bradley in the big leagues, and what you think of their long term prospects.
Yeah, you know, with Mercado, you know, you kind of saw some of it in spring training too, and. You know, one thing that's different this year when looking at how guys are performing in AAA is it kind of shows what a joke the balls are in a way. But, like, they're using major league balls in AAA. They switched this year. And everybody's offensive, like, numbers across the board are up 40% in AAA compared to last year and compared to the rest of the minors. It's just insane, and it shows you, like, what rockets the balls they use in the major leagues are. So you kind of have to take the minor league numbers in AAA this year with a little bit of a grain of salt. But, you know, I actually, even though, you know, Mercado has performed better than Bradley, you know, in their initial, you know, forays into the big leagues, I like Bradley a little bit more long-term. I mean, I think you're always getting, you guys have seen some of it. You're going to get some swing and miss with Bobby. But I do think the power is real. He's hit for power and big power everywhere he's gone. And he draws a lot of walks. I mean, he's kind of your poster boy for what this era of baseball has become with the three true outcomes. I mean, you're going to get a lot of, you know, home runs, strikeouts, and walks from Bobby Bradley Jr. Or, I don't know, I'm calling him Bobby Bradley Jr. I guess I'm thinking of Jackie Bradley Jr. from Bobby Bradley.
Yeah.
You know, Mercado, you know, I guess I see him probably on like a true contender in the long run. I'm still kind of on that borderline as to whether Mercado is an everyday player or if he's a really good fourth outfielder. But, you know, he brings a lot to the table. You know, he can run. He can play defense. He's got a really good arm. You know, he started hit for more power. He can do a lot of things. And I will say, I mean, you know, he's definitely in the last, you know, year or so, you know, I think with spring training and with AAA, even with the jacked up balls, you know, really raised his offensive profile. So maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. But, like, if he can continue to play like he did, especially when he first came up, then, you know, he probably is an everyday guy.
Is there anybody else in the minors right now that you could see getting called up here at some point this season?
You know, I do our Indians prospect list, and what stands out about the Indians list is it might be the youngest list of all our top 30s. I want to say coming into the year, like 18 or so of the guys were teenagers. Like, it's a really young list. You know, maybe, you know, somebody, you know, well, I guess Savali's been up, you know, if, you know, Karinchak was healthy, maybe, you know, Yu Chang, if they needed him, but I don't think they really have an infield opening for him right now. And he hasn't had a great year either. So I don't know if, I mean, it's a good system. It's a very young system. I don't know if you're going to see anybody else come up and make an impact, you know, maybe Daniel Johnson. Yeah. I think it's probably more, to be honest, like, if they have, like, an injury creates an opening and they need a replacement. But I don't think you're going to see somebody come up and necessarily make as much of a contribution as Zach Plesac has so far or Mercado has so far.
You know, one guy you didn't mention, obviously, he's not ready to play in the big leagues, is Nolan Jones. And he's eventually be their third baseman. You know, maybe you move Ramirez to second, I guess. What is his long-term prospect? Is there a comp for him? Is there a guy in the big leagues that you think is comparable?
I don't know if I have a great comp, but I love Nolan Jones, and it's weird. I think he's a little underrated. Like I don't think he gets his due as being one of the very best third base prospects in all the minor leagues. I mean, you know, I was talking about how Bobby Bradley hits for power and draws a lot of walks. Well, Nolan Jones does that too, but he also is a good hitter. Like if you watch this guy, he's not just swinging for the fences. He uses the whole field. He makes pitchers work. He's got a really nice swing. I mean, I think this is a guy who can bat, you know, maybe third in your order, you know, at some point down the road. I mean, this guy's going to hit for average and power and draw walks. And, you know, his defense got knocked a little bit, His defense got knocked when he first entered pro ball. Like, he hadn't had much experience at third, but, you know, he's a former hockey player. You know, he's a big guy, but he's not going to, you know, be a guy who could play the middle infield. But I think he keeps getting better. I do think third base is a position where it's a lot of reactions, and just through sheer hard work, you can make yourself an, at least an average defender. And I think he's done that. So, I mean, I think you're looking at a guy, like I said, if you hit in the middle of your order, I don't think he's ever going to win a Gold Glove. But I think he can you know, play an average third base and not be a, you know, a liability or anything like that. So I really like Nolan Jones. He I think they just promoted him to Double A right after the Futures game, right?
Yep.
I think I remember hearing that. And I think, you know, maybe at some point next year you'll see him in Cleveland. He's really, really good. I think he's probably – I know our prospect list, which we're going to update all of our prospect lists after the draft signing deadline and before the trade deadline. You know, right now, he's our number two prospect in the organization behind Tristan McKenzie. But as much as I like McKenzie, he keeps getting hurt. I mean, I think Nolan Jones is probably the best prospect in the whole system right now.
We're talking with Jim Callis, MLB Network, MLB.com. Tonight, the AAA All-Star Game on MLB Network in El Paso, Texas.
Very hot.
Yeah, what is the temperature there?
Yeah, we're going to be the highest supposed to be 104 today.
Ooh, wow.
It's not the heat that kills you, it's the humidity.
That's right.
It is a dry heat. Thank God for that.
You know, Jim, it's always AAA is so fascinating because you have your mix of, you know, veteran guys that have been up and down between the majors, or maybe veteran guys that are trying to make it back to the majors, and then your young top, and a lot of the top prospects will skip AAA. And these AAA locker rooms have to be extremely fascinating dynamics.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's you're right. I mean, they do tend to jump a lot of younger players from AA. You know, I have not done an official count, but I think we may have more players over 30 than under 30 in the AAA All-Star game, at least on the pitching staff. So it's not, you know, the AAA All-Star game, they're trying to honor the players who are having the best years in AAA, but it's not, it's certainly a different look from the Futures game, where I think 37 of the 50 guys at the Futures game were on our top 100 prospects list. I think there's four or five in the top 100 here at the AAA game. It's kind of a different vibe, but it's, you know, it's interesting because you get a lot of guys who, like you said, have been to the big leagues and are trying to work their way back. You know, I think the three Indians representatives here are Josh Smith, Eric Haas, and Brandon Barnes. You know, and Brandon Barnes, looking at this, is 33. Josh Smith is 29. And, you know, Haas is more of a traditional prospect, but, I mean, he's 26. So it's, you know, there are not a ton of young guys here. I think we have two guys from the Futures game are also in the AAA All-Star game, and they're both on the PCL roster.
Jim, if the Indians end up being sellers at the deadline, or maybe a little of both, maybe they just trade Bauer, you know, and we're thinking, like, if they trade Bauer, you want to get, you know, hitting prospects that are major league ready. They've been connected to maybe the Astros, maybe the Yankees. You know, when you look at those teams and you look at guys, you know, like, is Kyle Tucker a guy that the Astros would be willing to give up in a Trevor Bauer trade?
You know, it's interesting because in the past they haven't, and I'm just speculating here. I have not been talking to Jeff Luno about this. I actually think in the right trade, they would, because Yordan Alvarez has come up to the big leagues. You know, he's starting to play regularly, and I think they like Kyle Tucker, obviously. He's one of the better prospects in baseball. Got off to a split start this year, and he's rebounded. But I do think, you know, when you're at that, you know, the Indians have faced this too, but, like, when you're a team like the Astros right now, we're basically anything short of winning a World Series is going to be a disappointing season. You know, they've got a great team. And, you know, they'll make the playoffs, but, like, they're in it to win the whole thing. You know, Trevor Bauer can make a huge difference. I mean, it would be kind of funny to reunite him and Gerrit Cole on the same team, because I don't think the former UCLA teammates can really stand each other.
No, that's true.
But it would be kind of funny to see that. But no, I mean, he would be huge. I mean, can you imagine going to playoffs and rolling out Verlander, Cole, and Bauer as your three primary starters? So I do think it changes a little bit. And, you know, look, you know, they won in 17 and they traded prospects, some good prospects, to get Verlander, and they had a team capable of winning last year and they didn't. And so I think, you know, it's World Series or bust. You know, I think the Yankees haven't been in the World Series in a while, but I still think that's kind of their thinking too. So I do think, not that they'll just give guys away, but in the past, you know, you've heard, okay, you know, the Astros wouldn't give up Tucker, you know, when Chris Sale was on the market. I think again, I'm not saying they'd look to give him away, but I think in the right trade, they would seriously consider it.
What's the haul for Brad Hand? And if you're the Indians, what are you asking?
You know, I don't know if you get as good a guy as they gave up, you know, where Mejia was ranked. And you guys have to refresh me. What's his contract status?
He's got after this year, he's got 2 years at a very cheap rate. Like, I think he's going to make between the second half of this year and the next 2 years, less than $20 million.
Yeah. So, he's going to be very, very attractive because you get hold on to him and it's not just cost certainty. I mean, you're getting a really good deal. I would think, you know, you look at the price guys have gotten for relievers, you know, the Indians gave up Francisco Mejia to get him. The, you know, Red Sox gave up a lot of prospects to get Kimbrel, who were highly regarded at the time. Manny Margot, I think, was the top-rated one. Andrew Miller trade cost prospects. So I would think you'd probably get a top 100 prospect of some sort, you know, like a true blue-chip guy, and then one or two other guys, you know, depending on what team you're dealing with. I don't think, you know, like, I don't think you'd get Kyle Tucker, like a guy that high up the list.
Right.
But I think you could get, probably a guy, you know, maybe in the middle of the list. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is kind of a sliding scale based on if you're willing to pick up a little bit of the money, you know, depending on who you trade him to, if that team's trying to deal with the luxury tax. And also, you know, you could probably get a little higher ceiling if you're willing to gamble on a guy, you know, in A ball as opposed to AAA. So it's kind of a little bit of a sliding scale, but they should get a pretty good return for Brad Hand. I don't know if they'll get a Francisco Mejia. And when I said, a guy who was ranked, I think we had him ranked about the 20th best prospect in baseball coming back. But they should be, maybe you get a guy who's around 40th or 50th on the list.
Jim, last thing. It seems like, and I don't know if I'm just being prisoner of the moment here, but it seems to me that there are more good young players that are, especially offensively, that are making an impact so quickly, I think, than we've ever seen. Is that fair to say? And if so, why do you think that is?
I haven't tried to quantify it, but it feels that way to me. And I just think it's that the development of players has changed. Like when I started at Baseball America 30 years ago, there really wasn't any kind of showcase circuit. You're basically your high school players, played locally and, maybe a little legion ball and, maybe there was like, one showcase, but there wasn't much. And now these guys, there's events throughout the summer, in the fall, the best high school players in the country are facing the best high school players. You're just getting quality at bats against quality competition. And similarly, for college baseball, when I started covering college baseball, when I went with Baseball America back in 89, there were probably 10, 12, 15 schools that you can make a list, and at least six of them would be among the eight teams that would get to Omaha for the College World Series year after year. Now there's a ton more, good college competitive programs. You saw Michigan, go all the way to the World Series Finals this year, for example. But there's a lot more teams playing a much higher level of college baseball. And even summer ball for colleges back then, it was kind of the Cape League and everybody else. And now there's leagues all over the country, where you can play 50 or 60 games against the summer with wood bats against good competition. I just think there's a lot more quality game action that didn't exist. And so, you aren't having a case where you sign a pro contract, you get a pro ball, and you're like, whoa, all these guys are pretty good. Like, you face that kind of competition in a lot of cases, especially if you're a high-profile player. You've seen a lot of that competition before you get to pro ball, and I just think guys are more ready because of it.
Everybody check out Jim Callis, part of MLB Network's coverage of the AAA All-Star Game tonight. Jim, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, good talking to you guys, and Cleveland should take a bow because I agree with you guys. I think it was a very nice All-Star week. Enjoy the first half.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.